This is Radio Superior 1927, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1927. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Hello. Hello. This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS, in Superior, Wisconsin. This is Jack McKenna calling on a Friday evening, May 20th, 1927. Stay tuned for the 5 o'clock news from Mr. Lewis Martin. Raymond Paulson will have Mobile Oil Sporting World news, including information about the Evening Telegram Fight Party, plus music from the Roaring Twenties. Tonight's news program is presented by Popkin Furniture, which features mohair couch and chair for just $149. And your credit is good at Popkin Furniture Company. And now the news with Lewis Martin. Hiya, Lou.
Yes, hiya. Good evening, all. Aviator Charles Lindbergh spread his wings, taking off from New York to Paris. His monoplane has been spotted by women over Massachusetts as he heads out to sea. We have the shortwave radio report from Patrick Kelly.
This is Roosevelt Field, New York. Patrick Kelly speaking. Charles A. Lindbergh, captain of the Missouri National Guard, but just plain slim to his buddies, set out today on an unmarked air trail to Paris. The airmail pilot departed here with his monoplane, the Spirit of St. Louis, into the muggy air above muddy Roosevelt Field a few minutes before 8 o'clock this morning. The flying fool, as his friends sometimes affectionately call him, is on his way. Five times in the 3,800-foot-long runway, he was close to disaster, twice by inches. His plane is carrying a load of more than 2.5 tons, and it barely cleared a string of telegraph wires at the end of the runway. A few seconds before that, it almost struck a road scraper as he was attempting to get off the ground. With the confidence of a youth, the 25-year-old flyer started over the trail on which French aviator captains Nungesser and Coley were lost in their flight from Paris to New York earlier this month. Dapper and immaculate in the latest aviator apparel, the young Argonauts started. The plane and its pilot reflected a gay challenge to the dangers of the 3,800-mile journey from New York to the French metropolis. Young Lindbergh said he expected to reach Paris and the $25,000 prize of Raymond Ortig in 36 to 43 hours. The plane carried 448 gallons of fuel, which he believes will allow him to fly for 45 hours. Traveling light, with only a week's supply of Army rations, Slim has no radio and will not be heard from until he reaches Paris. His only guide will be a compass. Other aviators in this race to Paris, Charles Chamberlain and Commander Richard E. Byrd, wished Lindbergh luck before he took off. Their planes will not be ready for the flight for a few days yet. The Ryan monoplane Spirit of St. Louis is metal, with wood wings and weighs 5,000 pounds. A youth of few words, Captain Lindbergh remarked to Nassau County Police Chief Abraham Skidmore, quoting now, "When I enter that cockpit, it's like going into a death chamber. When I get to Paris, it will be like getting a pardon from the governor," unquote. At Roosevelt Field in New York, this is Patrick Kelly speaking.
Since this morning's takeoff sighting, the Spirit of St. Louis has been reported. Two women in Halifax, Massachusetts, saw an airplane bearing the lettering NX211. That's the number on Captain Lindbergh's plane. Horror is reported from Bath, Michigan today. Little is known yet, but an apparent demented farmer with explosives blew up part of the Bath school building yesterday. 42 people were killed, including 36 children. Firemen and police are searching for survivors. Millionaire oil operator Harry Sinclair was sentenced to 3 months in jail and fined $500 today for contempt of Congress. Sinclair showed no emotion during sentencing, but later expressed surprise that Judge Hintz did not give him the minimum sentence of 1 month in jail. Mr. Sinclair was convicted of refusing to answer questions in the Senate's Teapot Dome oil scandal investigation in 1924. There's speculation from Washington scribes that President Calvin Coolidge will not run for a second term. poll showed that President Coolidge is in third place behind Illinois Republican Governor Frank Loudon and Democrat New York Governor Al Smith. Speculation has it that Governor Smith cannot be elected because he's a Catholic. KUWS Radio News Time is 6 minutes after 5 o'clock.
It's okay, Lou. Go ahead and say, "Hi, Jack," or something.
That's just too informal. Let's try this. Jack McKenna has this important message from our sponsor.
Just right. From Popkins Furniture Company, in Superior, on Tower Avenue, where your dollar buys most. Look at this one. I can't believe this. $65 9x12 seamless Axminster on sale at $49. Can you believe that? Well, believe it. It's on sale. And how about this? $125 worsted Wiltons on sale at just $89. Boy, oh boy. And it goes on. 9x12 size, sale price $9.95. For a CertainTeed felt base rug, first quality with border. And there's one from 6x9, sale price $5.95. Well, I can't do this all day. I'd have to take in the whole store, because the whole store's on sale. Popkin Furniture Company, folks. Tower Avenue in Superior.
There's a move afoot to remove the Superior School Board president. This comes after a month-long student strike because of the firing of English instructress Miss Lulu Dickinson by the board. Newsman Gunnar Johnson has the latest.
Papers were served on School Board President Reverend A.T. Ekblad today, ordering his appearance before a court commissioner to prove that he is eligible to be on the board. Opponents charged the Reverend Ekblad as not being a freeholder. It is demanded that he proves he owns land. Announcement of this latest development came from the Committee of 21, which opposes the removal of Miss Dickinson and later Central High School Principal C.G. Wade. His firing doesn't take effect until June. Miss Dickinson was fired March 14th. The student strike was all of April. Meanwhile, voters in Superior go to the polls next Tuesday to decide if the school board should continue to be appointed by the mayor or it should be elected. Lou?
Joining us now is Committee of 21 Attorney W.V. Kellogg. Good evening, sir.
Yes. People of Superior are speaking out against the flagrant violation against Miss Dickinson and Mr. Wade. How cruel. How demeaning. How...
Despicable?
Despicable. The actions of a few have hurt the many. This brave pair is showing these young, impressionable minds that, indeed, they do have a say. They do have power. They can't be trampled on like so many ants. Why, I was just talking to Miss Dickinson. Bless her soul. She's in her sickbed, you know.
No, I didn't.
Well, know that she is. She's cooperated with the Committee of 21, and so has Principal Wade. But have the high and mighties on the school board? Have they? Well?
Well, you're supposed to know that.
No, they haven't. Reverend Ekblad and Reverend W.F. Hood haven't given us the time of day. Little Mary Brown, a senior at Central, bravely led this student strike last month. She said it best when she said it was time someone said they must be heard.
You don't say.
Enough is enough. This isn't the first time this domineering board has sacked experienced teachers without a fair and impartial hearing. And why are they being fired? Why are they being dismissed? Why are they being let go in a cruel system of espionage worthy of the Tsar or Sultan?
Why?
If you don't mind, Jack.
Because the school board wants freedom of thought, personal initiative, and individual expression wiped out. I ask you, what kind of message does that send to our young people? Our leaders of tomorrow, our hope for the future, our lanterns to light our way, the foundation of our very society.
The cream in our coffee.
The salt of the sea.
The hope on the horizon.
That would be about enough. Thank you, Mr. W.V. Kellogg, with the Committee of 21.
Don't mention it. Like your tie.
Yeah, he got it from his girl, Harriet.
Enough about my
pretty
tie.
Pretty spiffy stuff, yeah.
In other news, federal court judge Claude Luce handed out sentences to six Ashland men today for violating the National Prohibition Act. Angus and Murdoch McClellan are now out on $1,000 bail, while John McClellan and Charles McCray pleaded guilty for making illegal liquor. Also arraigned before Federal Court Commissioner Walter Cate in Ashland were Marty Naughton of Bayfield County, given 30 days in the Ashland County Jail, and his employee, Joe Callahan, who was given 5 days in jail. Speeders, beware. A new state law now allows county patrolmen to ticket people going above the speed limit. State motorcycle patrolmen were the only ones pulling over speeders until now. A motion was made by County Supervisor Philip Nelson of Cloverland and seconded by Hugh McCarthy of the town of Superior to put the law into effect in Douglas County. The coal steamer Madeline left Bayfield for Superior for its annual inspection by the Shipping Board. The Madeline will make her first public excursion Sunday when she tours the Apostle Islands. Billy Miller will captain the Madeline, which docks in Ashland for the summer. And finally, good listeners, the Superior Kiwanis Club were entertained in a unique way today by Indian girls Martha Houle and Rena White. They both wore native costumes and sang native songs. They'll appear again at the Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church on Sunday for Mrs. Carl Wilson's Bible class. Mrs. White's Chippewa name is Kiwa Nino Kwe, Girl of the North.
That's newsman Lou Martin, or he can tell it all. That's Chippewa for newsman of the North.
It was safer before we had all this chattering between us. And you're not supposed to make fun of a newsman.
You mean he can tell it all? Well, all right, folks. I'm afraid the chilly weather will continue into tomorrow, with cloudy skies tonight and fresh to strong northeasterly winds off old Gitche-Gumee. I'm getting rather fluent in Chippewa myself. Let's kick things off with music from our Roaring Twenties wax recordings. Here's something native. It's called Creole Love Call. With Mr. Duke Ellington on the Martin and McKenna Show. The haunting singing of Adelaide Hall, with Duke Ellington and his orchestra and Creole Love Call on station KUWS. Folks, head on down to Bingham Hardware's new store for specials on lawnmowers. Yep, it's that time of year again to start cutting the grass. Ball bearing, 16-inch cut, push mowers, priced to sell starting at $6.95. Or get the 18-inch cut, professional model, for $16.95. At Bingham Hardware, 1009 Tower Avenue in Superior. And ladies, shop at the Glass Blocks Shopping Center of Duluth with a feast of values. The latest hats are on sale tomorrow. It's Felt Hat Day with snug crown hats for just $5. That's on the millinery, third floor at Glass Block in downtown Duluth. Telephone Melrose, 3300-3300. And more music now, friends. Here's Ted Weems, and you're the cream in my coffee on the Martin and McKenna Show. Ted Weems and his orchestra with vocals by Parker Gibbs. And you're the cream in my coffee on station KUWS.
I have this news flash from the Associated Press. Captain Charles Lindbergh, in his gray monoplane, the Spirit of St. Louis, has been spotted over the Nova Scotia coast. The sighting happened after 1 o'clock and puts him on schedule in his New York to Paris flight. Navy hydrographic experts say it appears that Captain Lindbergh will have perfect weather over the Atlantic Ocean, Jack.
Think of it. He figures to make it across the ocean in less than 2 days. It boggles the mind.
I didn't think you allowed that to happen to your brain. Now it's time for George G. Newton, of the George G. Newton Realty Company. Good evening, sir.
Hiya, fellas. Good to meet you, too. Just put it right there.
Glad to meet you, too.
You know, this new idea of being informal on the radio is just tops. That's why I'm bringing my radio business here. That way we can kibitz amongst us guys about great real estate deals by yours truly, George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty.
So, what's up?
What's up is this Lucky Lindy guy. I mean, can you imagine if he makes it to Paris? I mean, I hate to say if, because, you know, I don't want to jinx him or anything, but think of it, Jack boy.
He's already boggled his mind once today. Any more might not be safe.
One boggle a show, I always say. Very funny, Lou.
Well, I mean, if this guy makes it solo to Paris, like, what's the limit? You know, crossing oceans like they're big ponds? You know, already we got cables, we got radio waves going across the ocean. But, you know, but now this? A human being doing it? You know what this means?
It means you're not telling us about real estate.
No. It means you and I could someday be flying across the ocean. Think of it. Breakfast in New York, dinner in Paris. It's a smaller world if he makes it. Means we all got to get along, you know.
And that means we need to have a good place to live, eh, Georgie? You got any of those today?
Does Calvin Coolidge have any bow ties? Does Al Jolson have any tootsies? Does Babe Ruth hit homers?
Does Charles Lindbergh hope he has enough gas?
Now that's enough.
Look, I got a fantastic deal for folks on a budget. 5 rooms, upstairs at 719 Weeks Avenue. It's perfect for young couples just getting started. $10 a month. Can you beat that? Well, I could be able to beat that, you know. Gather around that radio, because George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty has modern, furnished apartments at 2125 Hammond Avenue, $12 a month each. That even comes with some light housekeeping, so how about that? And I got homes, you know. We got some nice homes listed at George G. Newton Realty. Here, how about this bungalow? It's got 5 rooms and a bath with 2 bedrooms, full basement, hot air heat. You think you can't afford it? Oh, no, you think again. We're going to let that go for $3,500. And here's our butte on Baxter Avenue, above Belknap. 4 rooms and a bath downstairs, and you got enough space for 2 more rooms upstairs. And this is affordable, folks, a real steal. You could get that for $1,600. All at George G. Newton Realty, you ask your operator to dial 6432. And hey, Godspeed to Lucky Lindy.
Thanks, George. This one's for you. From 1923, here's Benny Kruger with Billy Jones singing, Yes, We Have No Banana.
Oh, that's our great one. That's my favorite. How'd you know?
It kind of says George G. Newton all over it.
And all kinds of fruit and fate. We have an old-fashioned tomato and a Long Island potato. But yes, we have an old banana. We have an old banana today. La 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 la.
Orchestra with Billy Jones singing, Yes, We Have No Bananas, on station KUWS. Let's welcome in our brand new young man of the Mobile Oil Sporting News, Raymond Paulson. Hiya, sport.
Hiya, Jake.
That's Jack.
Right. You're trying to fool a new guy. I know it's Jake. I've done my homework. Now, on with my sports first cast by Mobile Oil.
Smooth.
Well, hang on to your saddle, Jake. Only one of France's three musketeers, Henri Crochet, stands between American tennis star Bill Tilden and the final of the International Hard Court Championship. Crochet dominated Big Bill at Forest Hills last year, so can you say revenge in French?
I think it is. Revenge.
Okay. The East Coast baseball games were rained out today, so the Western games took front and center, including the game in Cleveland against the mighty Yanks of New York. Oh, boy. Those Bronx Bombers have a lineup this year. The 27 Yanks have Combs in center leading off, Koenig at short, Babe Ruth in right, the Iron Horse Lou Gehrig at first, and Tony Lazzari at second. They topped the Tribe 4-3. But we all know what the big news everybody is talking about today, and the weather is clearing in New York just in time for the clash of the heavies. Yes, the Boston slugger, Jim Maloney, takes on Jack Sharkey at Yankee Stadium to decide who gets a title shot at the iron-fisted Jack Dempsey for the championship. Advance sales are past $175,000. And it looks like original estimates of $300,000 in gate receipts will be made and passed. And fight fans, remember, the Evening Telegram is having its Maloney-Sharkey fight party on the 13th Street side of the Telegram. They'll announce round-by-round results from the editorial rooms, and they'll have a one-page extra edition once the fight is over. Fight time is 8 o'clock. Don't park your car by the Telegram. They need the room for the crowd, and Superior's finest will tow them away. Oh, one more thing, Jake.
Jack?
Yeah, sure. This is Rapid Ray Paulson, reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Not bad, kid. Not bad. From 1922, this is Frank Crummett and Stumbling on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Attention, folks, speak of jokes, this is one on me. Took my gal to a dance at the Armory. Music played, dancers swayed, then we joined the crowd. I can't dance, took a chance, and right then we started. Stumbling all around, stumbling all around, stumbling all around. So funny, stumbling here and there, stumbling everywhere, and I must declare, I stepped right on her toes, and when she bumped my nose, I fell, and when I rose, I felt ashamed, and told her, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, my honey, notice all the pep, notice all the pep, notice all the pep. she said, stop mumbling, though you are stumbling. I like it just a little bit, just a little bit, quite a little bit. Young and small, short and tall, folks most everywhere take a chance to do this dance. They think it's a bear. People rave and they crave just to do this step. Off they go, nice and slow, when the band starts playing. Stumbling all around, stumbling all around, stumbling all around. So funny, stumbling here and there, stumbling everywhere, and I must declare, I stepped right on her toes, and when she bumped my nose, I fell, and when I rose, I felt ashamed, and told her, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, that's the latest step, my honey, notice all the pep, notice all the pep, notice all the pep. She said, stop mumbling, though you are stumbling. I like it just a little bit, quite a little bit.
Okay, folks, that was Frank Crummett and his 1922 hit, Stumbling. Oh, boy, how the newsmen hate that word. On station KUWS.
This news flash just in. Captain Charles Lindbergh has been sighted off the easternmost point of Nova Scotia at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. This means that he's now over the Atlantic Ocean on his nonstop flight from New York to Paris.
Wow, there's no turning back now. You look worried, Lou.
Not about that. Something else. We're going to need some rules about this informal radio gabbing between you and guys like George G. Newton. I'm getting a headache.
Funny you should say that. My wife says that, too.
She says you're a pill, eh, Georgie? Well, I just say you're underappreciated.
This is what I'm talking about. This jabber might turn into something as important as radio into something trivial.
Trivial?
Land trivial. Sakes, that'll be
there you go, being a prim and proper newsman. If it isn't earth-shaking, then it isn't worth saying.
Cerebo.
People like Greg their good old-fashioned conversation.
I suppose you're right. I do have a tendency to get on my high horse once in a while. Newsmen do that sometimes.
Don't worry, Lou. All's forgiven.
Radio becoming trivial. What a thought.
Hey, guys, I got room for all of us at the Telegram Fight Party tonight. But we have to get going now if we're going to save a spot.
Hey, can George G. come along? I love pugilism.
It's not that. It's boxing.
I got folding chairs for everyone. And I popped popcorn.
I've got chewing gum for everyone.
I'll spring for the Coca-Colas.
Better bring blankets. It's liable to be chilly tonight.
I'm just relieved that radio chatter is not trivial.
Stay tuned, folks, for the Spalding Hotel Little Symphony. Then the Girl Scout Hour, and at 9 o'clock, it's the Garrick Theater. We'll be back, same time and same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing. See, that's not trivial, Lou. For Lou Martin and the new guy, Rapid Raymond Paulson, this is Jack McKenna, not Jake, wishing Lucky Lindy Godspeed wherever you are.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1927. An original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Al Katz and Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1927 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.